Also Bafana Bafana, what, 15-odd minutes into the first half. The good news is Lyle Foster is back, ladies and gentlemen, scoring Bafana Bafana's first goal. I say first because we're expecting more. One person who expected more and more goals is a man who's now sitting in front of me. And remember, it's a Friday.
Friday nights, always.
This is how we do it.
About our beloved legends. Pull up your chair. Let's chat legendary stuff. Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Tell you what, South African football history is incomplete without the extraordinary guest of mine, his name being mentioned. Now, you simply cannot talk local Diski and not mention him at any stage. Now, the Austrian-born retired footballer and gaffer, known in local circles as Mr. Fix-It, for his uncanny ability to save sides from relegation. You know when teams find themselves on the wrong side of the table, they'll call him and say, please come and coach and save our status. I mean, he's done it. He's seen it all in domestic football. He has accepted SOSs from clubs where many would have turned them down. And guess what? He groomed, he nurtured, he unleashed talents at those clubs and has more often than not taken risks many would not have. And that's just how it goes with the beautiful game. Sacrificing so much, a massive future in our team. You can even call him Mr. or Joshua Doe. Hey, he's part of the furniture. I look at Swallows, Black Leopards, Mpumalanga Black Aces, Dangerous Duckies, Real Rovers, Rabali Blackpool, AmaZulu, African Wanderers, Tembisa Classic, Zulu Royals, PJ Stars, Garankuwa United. I'm running out of time. Can I pause there? There are many, many others. All of those years, coach, ladies and gentlemen, sit back and relax because I don't have to encourage this man to say a word. He says it all. Coach Walter Ottman, good evening and welcome to the show, sir.
Good evening. Thank you very much to be back. Great.
Good to see you.
Yes.
You said it was your birthday last week.
Last week, 30th of August, yeah.
How old are we now?
79 young 79. And still going.
79?
Yes. And I came in the country, I think I'm the only coach alive from the white coaches in 65 to play soccer, you know, for a team in Pretoria, then Power Lions, Jamison Kellys, Morocco Swallows. And then, you know, I went overseas, I played in Germany, Bundesliga, I played in America with Kaiser Montown, Shaka Nokobo, Esno Zolenge. Then I went to Inter Milan. Unluckily, I hurt my knee, I couldn't sign. And then I always came back, you know, because just a good story. I was at the airport and I coached AmaZulu to the cup final against Jomo Cosmos,
yes.
1990. And at the airport was Walter Sisulu and Mr. Mandela and Winnie outside in the car. So the bodyguard of Mr. Sisulu recognized me and come talking to me, you know. So I said, listen, please, I want to speak to Mr. Mandela, you know. He said, look, I try to do something. So I bribed him. I said, listen, if you can arrange it with Walter Sisulu, I make sure you get 4 tickets to the final. So Mr. Sisulu came, shook my hands. I gave him the tickets, and I went to see Mr. Mandela and Winnie. And then Mr. Mandela, you know, I asked him just, you know, I'm a soccer coach going to the final. I'm going overseas to play. What is the future, South Africa? I said, coach, come back, stay here, help everybody. You know, we know you in the townships,
yes,
and things like that. So come back. And that's why I came back. And that is my life here.
You bribed him?
I bribed him with 4 tickets to the final. I must have supported Jomo Cosmos because we lost in the last minute.
I love your honesty. I think we needed guys like you at the Zondo Commission because everybody there was not willing to say they bribed anybody. But here you are today saying you bribed somebody to see a great man like Nelson Mandela. But, you know, after the break, I want to find out how you are health-wise. We haven't heard from you. A lot of South Africans, when they saw the social media posts, they were excited. They were like, wow, where did you find, you know, your nickname? Mr. Fitness.
Well, the first one is Soweto in Morocco Swallows. My name is still Soweto. Fans greet me Soweto.
Yeah.
Then King of the Zulus.
So the Zulus
respect me. I ask them to say Paete when they see me. And then, you know, I got Mr. Fitness, Mr. Fix-It, too many. So fantastic.
Fitness, Fix-It, Friday.
Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
I mean, Uganda, Kenya, the entire African continent right now finds itself mourning Rebecca Cheptegei, who has now sadly passed away at a Kenyan hospital where she was being treated after 80% of her body was burnt in an attack by, yes, her partner. Now, this tragedy is a stark reminder of the urgent need to combat gender-based violence, which has increasingly affected even elite athletes and sports stars. Ugandan sports journalist Asha Kumagisha.
I gotta tell you, it's very sad. August the 11th, which is less than a month ago, you know, Rebecca Cheptegei was running in the Paris 2024 Olympic Games, you know, representing Uganda, and now she's dead. Everyone is shaken, you know, not just sports fans in Uganda, but just generally across the world. You can see the feedback. It's just so sad.
Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW. Friday nights, always.
This is how we do it.
About our beloved legends. Pull up your chair. Let's chat legendary stuff. Marawa Sports Worldwide.
All right, lots of excitement on the social media platforms there with Walter Routman in studio saying, where did you find this man? Where has he been? What is he up to? But you know what? There are many, many tales. Coach, firstly, I mentioned just a few teams that you've coached. A lot of people thought it's a lot of teams. And you've just said to me during the break, you've coached how many?
15.
You've coached 15.
In South Africa.
And you scribbled them down quickly during that break. Tell me, who are they?
I tell you quickly, start from the tops. Yeah. Morocco Swallows, Pilkington United, Brothers, Sweetbank Black Aces, Dangerous Darkies, African Wanderers, AmaZulu, Rabali Black Bull, Dynamos, Black Leopards, Benoni United, Tembisa Classic, Peaches Stars, Bloemfontein Celtic, Real Roberts, and Mabane Swallows in Swaziland, my only outside of the country, which one I coached in the final or semi-final against Supersport, African Nations.
13.
15.
15.
15 teams.
And in that period of time, Fergie just coached one team. How many teams did you play for?
13.
So you coached
all over the world
and played 13.
And played 13 games. I should go in the Guinness Book of Records if somebody can do it for me. Nobody, I think, in the world could have done that.
I think we need to call the Guinness Book of Records to say they need to wake up.
Yeah.
There's a bit of history here. You're turning 80 next year, so they need to have it done before you turn 80. And in all of that time, in South Africa, coaches have left because of something called interference, where chairmen of clubs want to interfere with the coaching duties of coaches. You would have experienced that a number of times, surely.
Look, too many times, because you don't forget, I refused actually to coach the top clubs, you know. When Kaiser seen me, always, Bobby, they always called me because I always shire them, so they want me with them, not against them.
Yeah.
And I played with Kaiser, as not so long as Shaka no Kobe in America, long time ago. Mm. So, you know, interference is with most of the clubs I've been. I never accepted it, you know. I told the chairman straight, your job is to sit at the top. Do you ever see the Manchester City or the Manchester United owners sitting on the bench or they're walking around? Please, no. You don't even know who the owners are. In South Africa, you know more the owners' names than the coaches' names sometimes because the owners are always in TV, newspapers. Mm. I don't know for what reason. Most of them are not even in the game, in my opinion, over so many years. Not of love of the game, they're in there for business. They want to get cheap players, make them good, and then sell them for millions. How many teams do that? You know, they become millionaires just selling players. Interference I had too much, you know, phone calls.
But what was your worst experience when it comes to interference? I know that there was a headline story a number of years ago saying that you had a clash with the chairman of Black Leopards, David Tidiella.
100%. You knew he was one of them. He had six coaches a season, like cheaper, you know, they are brothers, I think, and or the uncles. And they fired, before I came there, I remember five coaches in the first season, you know.
Yeah.
And always, as you said, they called me when it's impossible to save them, 12 games to go. I had to win 11 of them, you know. Out when you go there, And they, you know what the difference is? It's easy to coach Chiefs, Pirates, Sundowns, Manchester United. You got all the top players. You got happy players that get paid well. Mm-hmm. If you lose a game, they buy you five players. The teams I had to go, there was no transfer deadline. I had to use with what I found there. Most of the times they told me, these are the rubbish players, you can't save them. In my opinion, there's no rubbish players. Mm. I'm coming back to TDL now.
Yes.
You know, I found many teams, when you go to them, bottom of the log, there's a reason. Either they are not good enough players, and Mr. Mike Mangena gave me the name, Mr. Fitness, because I told everybody, if you're not 100% fit, I cannot beat Chiefs with the bottom team who lost 8 games in a row. How I beat Chiefs in 2 weeks' time? I had to try to make them as fit as possible, because any player... You don't have to be a superstar. Mm. But if I make you 100% fit, and a lot of my players appreciated it, you can mark a superstar out of the game and still make the game.
But they were saying that you would want to say that the players are not fit deliberately because you were trying to make an excuse when you joined the teams to say, okay, in case things don't go right, just remember that the previous coach didn't get these guys fit.
Never. I never blamed the previous coach at all. I check the players in a week, how the fitness levels are, and then you have to tell the truth, otherwise you won't succeed. You know, I can't carry on and say, well, let's play on for fun. I had to win 9 games in a row, not in 6 weeks. Some of the coaches, they come here or even overseas, they coach top clubs. They tell you I need 1 or 2 years. I had 1 or 2 weeks. I had to win. Because if I lost 2 games, I was relegated. Mm. And I never was relegated with one team.
Ever?
Never, ever.
In so every team that...
15 teams.
Yeah.
Not one was relegated with me. They were relegated when I left for a reason. When I fought the chairman or the no payment, I left them. Then they got relegated and they deserved it.
But where did that story, before we lose track, where did that David Tidiella story end?
Right.
Because it had to do as well, partly with exactly what you're talking about, payment or lack of payment.
Look, there were, I tell you, the honest truth is I coached 15 teams, I saved them relegation. I never received 1 cent from saving a team from relegation. They promised, yes.
Bonus.
But not one bonus for saving the team, millions. Because if you go down second division, you know, in Venda, Mr. Tidiella or the Rabali Blackpool,
yes.
I started off with.
Colored Passmore.
Colored Passmore. They were bottom 13 points behind the second last team. I played 13 games, Rabali Blackpool. Never lost a game in Venda. Dynamos, Black Leopards. I never dropped a point in Toronto. But I met 30,000 people in Venda. Full house, every game. And I celebrated with them after the game, taking my shirts off. And you know, I'm coming back to Taylor, sorry. Mm. You know what happened in Venda Radio? When I was a Rabali Blackpool, they called me, I was always on the radio. Then they told me, Coach, you're increasing the population in Venda, in Venda, thank you. I said, why, what do I do that? He says, look, you beat all the teams, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. The people go home so happy they make babies. So I even met babies in Venda. Can you believe it? I should have become a doctor there and make babies out. So that was in Venda. But coming back, Venda, Mr. Tidiella, look, I have nothing against any chairman, nothing.
Yeah.
But they mustn't interfere with me. I don't accept it. I'm a coach. I'm responsible for the team. I'm responsible for the players, win or lose. They can call me on a Monday and talk, but not during a game. What happened? I came to Black Leopards. I did an impossible job. Everybody said, this time, Mr. Fitness, you won't save Black Leopards. They were at the bottom, 11 or 10 games to go. I had to win all 10, I think, all 9. And I had to play Sundowns, Pirates, Swallows, Cape Town. Oh, big, big games. I won all of them. And inside 2 weeks, I had to change everything there, you know?
Yeah.
And that was not the point. The point was, I saved the Black Leopards relegation. Then, of course, I didn't get any bonus, any money. So one director after the game hugged me, congratulated me, said, I did to give you a big bonus. I said, not 1 cent, sorry. Now, Tidiella was gross. Suddenly, I was coach of the month. I went to Tidiella's office to receive the trophy. He never even came. He ignored me because I had the thing to say the truth to an official that I didn't get a cent for it. But I didn't even cry about it. I'm happy. I love the people in Venda. They loved me there. I've met a stadium full. Any case. So he didn't even come there. I didn't want to go back.
Yeah.
But the fans phoned me by the hundreds. Believe me, please, coach, come back. We love you. You saved us. Come back. My wife said, no, you don't go back there. Just a small story. I could not be alive today because, you know, I had to travel all the time, Venda, up and down. All the teams I coached.
Yeah.
I flew to Bloemfontein. I flew to Durban. Flew and back. Traveled 7 hours to Venda. One day, I came back at midnight from a game in Venda, you know, with the bus.
Mm-hmm.
My son and my wife were alone at home. I fell asleep 1 o'clock in the morning, and people, they knew me all there. They must have thought I'm still staying in Venda, come back the next day. 2 o'clock in the morning, my dog starts barking, sleeps in our bed. So I said, no, I can't go out, I'm tired. My wife said, please, you must go out, the dog wants to go out. By luck, when I go to the door, I switch on the light, and there I see one shadow, two, three, four, five shadows, banga, out in the thing there, in my garden. I shouted, you know, bring me the gun, I shoot you. I didn't have a gun, but what I was doing? And by luck, they jumped over the wall to another neighbor. One got shot there. But what if I didn't come home from Venda that day? Mm. My son was small, my wife alone. What would have happened? Any case, you have to accept this when you're all the time on the road. But Mr. Tadiela at that time, okay, he didn't even come to the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go back. But then the people phoned me, please, coach, we need you there in Venda. You made us happy. You make things. So we decided to go back. So I think it was fifth game in the season, Jomo Cosmos live in television. You know, as I told you, I never dropped a point in Venda,
yeah.
Not with any team. We shire them all, heavy. And live in television, 1-0 down at halftime. Tadiela comes in the change room, calls me to the toilet and says, look, coach, what are you doing? Noti Mokwena was there, had him on
yes,
the bench.
Yes.
Why don't Noti must play? And I brought you two players, whatever, you know? So I said, Mr. Tadiela, go and sit at the top. That's what is your place is. My place is here. Don't talk to me here. Go. We win 3-1, second half. I got live television interview. So Tadiela comes like, coach, you are the best, wants to hug me. I say, stop. I said, here, Mr. Tadiela, go to hell. I was the clown at halftime. Now I'm the best coach. I say, go, leave me in peace. On Monday, sent me a letter. I'm suspended because I don't respect him. So I had to call my lawyers. They came there, and then there was a big talk. Any case, we decided I leave, you know. And then I had to go to labor court to get a bit of my money after saving him from relegation. And
but did you get the money after the labor court?
Just some peanuts, absolute peanuts.
Would you meet him now? What's your relationship? Have you spoken to him in recent
times? No, with anybody.
Yeah.
Look, you came to Petros Mollemela just now.
Yeah.
I love him. He was a heart for Bloemfontein Celtic. He was a fanatic. I had no problems with him. Look, it's the same story. I didn't want to go there because I read in the paper a week before he punched Augusto Palacios in front of all the supporters. So I said, will I be the next or what's going to happen?
Okay.
And I was the next.
We're going to find out as well, Gora Ibrahim, what happened with that kick. You know, Gora was here as a legend. He spoke to us about that particular kick. You can give us a call, 011-883-8947, 011-883-8947. Otherwise, hey, you can watch this man. Check what he is all about. See what jersey he's wearing. Maybe that's his favorite team. I don't know. But he's wearing a particular jersey of a specific Premier League team and is wearing it proudly in studio. YouTube channel is live.
Mr. Roberto, that is Mr. Fix-It, Mr. Fitness, Walter Rodman, the guy that Mulemela broke his arm in the dressing room.
They broke your arm in the dressing room as well.
No, I didn't break my arm. He wouldn't do it. He was a nice guy. I loved him. You know what happened?
Yeah.
We played Kaiser Chiefs live in television, and he wanted to sit on the bench because I loved him. I don't accept any official sit on the bench, not one team.
Yeah.
But with him, I said, he's got a heart for Celtic. He's a great guy. He sit on the bench, okay? He sat on the bench, and then Chiefs caught an offside goal, you know, clear offside. He had his big umbrella, and he got up, and he ran after linesman, pinched him in the bum with the umbrella, and live in television. So when he came back, he sat down on the bench again. So I said to him, Mr. Petros, please go inside, relax, go to sleep. I'll talk to you after the game. But he stayed on the bench. And then when we go in the change room afterwards, he comes to me and comes to the shower where I showered. And he says, no, you can't talk to me like that. And he just took me by the arm, twisted it, and threw me into the shower. And that was my last day at Celtic also. I said, look, I respect him, but I can't come back. You know, I got a respect of myself, of a coach. When somebody does that to me, a physical assault,
yeah.
I can't go back. I said, this is a thing. Even if they want me back, I said, no.
Where's Netflix? Coach, I think Netflix are sleeping on this story. I have never. And guys, listen, this is only a fraction of the many gazillion stories that make up the life and the times of Walter Rodman.
50 stories.
Oh, my goodness.
Good evening, Rob, and good evening to the legend, Walter Rodman, Mr. Fitness. Walter, having coached in South Africa for so many years, did you participate in any of the Muti rituals at any club? And which club did you coach in South Africa that used Muti the most? I just want to hear your views around that.
Quick one.
It's a great question because it's every club, but I don't believe in Muti, because why you need a coach and why you train when Muti would win you the game? There were terrible Muti stories. Black Leopards, I think they got more witch doctors than players. At Swallows, George Koch Stadium, I tell you two stories at Swallows. The first story, long time ago, we had two players from Zimbabwe, it was called Rhodesia.
Yes.
Shadrach Nkwenya and Maxwell Zuma, I remember their names. They didn't believe in Muti. But there was a Muti at George Koch, a basin with fish and chips inside, and what do you know, all stinking rubbish, and you had to jump inside.
Yeah.
So these players refused. They cut them also with razor blades over their things. I remember him, Mark McVie, Gavin Lane, the white players didn't want the things all, you know. So there was Muti stories crazy. Worse with Swallows was, quickly, we played away game in Cape Town, cold, winter, ice cold. We're in the hotel, so the player said, they're calling us again. I said, what for? They said, the bathroom, bassin is full of Muti, we have to jump inside. I, with some officials, went to the game.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes kickoff, there are no players. I said, crazy. I said, the referee said, what's going on? I said, look, the players are thing. Maybe they have a puncture, just to say something.
Yeah.
10 minutes after kickoff time, the players come, full of Muti, the shirts, shaking in the cold, in the winter. Now we said, they can't play in these shirts. The referee said, I don't allow this. I get sick. I must go to hospital. They stink like hell. So what we had to do is, I think it was Cape Town Spurs. I went to the coach and said, coach, please give us a kit to play. We can't play like this, stinking cold. We had to play in their kit, the game, because the Muti killed our shirts. But so is all the teams had Muti, worse than you, AmaZulu, everywhere where you go. Dangerous Duckies, anywhere, you know, Muti, Muti, Muti.
Well, I mean,
you know what I did? You know what I did? I cannot make the players not believe who wants to believe. I told every player, if you believe in Muti, you do it without me being present. I don't want to see it, but I tell you the worst Muti story after the break. I forgot one, Dangerous Duckies, you kill yourself.
Hashtag MSW, live. Now. On 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live. At the same time. Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW.
Good evening, Darob. One of the legends of our South African football, a man who barely gets recognition for the contribution that he's made to our football, Walter Rodman. Robert, there's just something special about you. You know, we haven't heard about him, we haven't read about him for a very long time. Now that he's in your show, I'm optimistic something will come about him. Either he's going to get a new job or something positive will come, because you just rub positive energy to everyone that you interview. You are a true legend. And how I wish Clayton McKenzie can come and call you to become his second in charge. To Mr. Rodman, we appreciate you, sir. And we are happy that Robert is giving you flowers while you can still smell them. Thank you so much. Nice choice always. Good evening, Taros.
Magoja, thank you so much. Indeed, very kind words coming through from you. I'll find out from Coach if he's still interested in coaching.
How's it, Rob? Hello to Walter Rodman, Julian Prina. Rob, just ask Walter Ratman about my hamburgers. Cheers, keep well. Good to see you're still alive, Walter.
Julian Preen.
Julian Preen?
Yeah.
Oh, for a long time ago, I coached him at the club.
And you had all his hamburgers, apparently.
Julian Prince, can you believe it? All on time.
Oh, man.
Blast from the past.
He's so happy to hear from you, Julian. Thank you so much indeed for that voice note. I mean, are you still interested in coaching, though? That was the previous voice note.
Well, look, I was still coaching now. My son is in Dubai, and for the past 4 years, he got a team there. And for the past 4 years, I coached there, you know. But then, as you said, I don't know if you want to hear the Cora Abraham story now, because it has to do with the health.
I was going to say that when Gora talked about that incident, and he felt a little bit of a distance from you, that maybe at some point you were not giving him the kind of support that he looked for from you, and then the anger kicked in. Give me your version, and what has that resulted in now?
Yeah, that's very unfair to say, because, you know, when I coached teams there, I wasn't sitting on the bench. My assistant coach was on the bench, and I was standing by the supporters, by the fans, and I directed the coach there and talked to him. Sometimes I came sit down back. You know, I didn't want to be at the bench shouting all these things, you know, so I stood back there. Now, I made Gora even captain, you know, I respected him too much. But we played a life and death game again Tata Park's relegation. I told you, Rabali, we were relegation. We never lost the game, but it was an important game. It was live in television. Now, I was told by the late Walter da Silva that once he attacked him at training at Orlando Pirates. And Walter da Silva told me, and that's the only story, I think this guy takes drugs, be careful. I don't know, I never seen it. That was the story. You know, Wenda is very hot. In the first 15 minutes, he fell over the ball. He missed the ball. He missed kick. The crowd went angry. Said, take him out, take him out. We need these points, you know. So I said to my assistant coach, change Gora. We can't have that. So I stepped by the fence. He walked out to the bench. He kicked the ice buckets. He kicked everything was flying there. So I shouted, Gora, cool it, go in the change room, cool it. So nothing else happened. So he walked slowly to me. I thought he wants to talk to me. So I stood by the fence, and when he's near me, he gave me the full studs in my testicles and in my bladder, you know. And that was the scene. I even saved his life, believe me. The guys had bangers cutting the fence because he never went in the change room. He sat on the sideline. Now, I wanted to walk to the bench, but I collapsed. Max Maponiani came running down. He was the reporter. Said, Walter, take you to hospital. I said, I can't. We're playing a life and death game. We need the points. I can't go to hospital. I still got the shirt, Wender thing, his footprint on my shirt here, from the sand, from the dirt, you know. And I had to go on the radio and told the people, he was at the police station. Mm-hmm. The fans said to me, we're going there, we're going to kill him. You know, the fans were all behind me, angry. Sure. Any case, I never spoke to him, nothing, not a word. I only told him, cool it, go in the mm-hmm. change room. That was all. So whatever, and I was worse upset with him because he claimed to every newspaper, every radio station, he apologized to me personally. Never did. If he apologized to me personally, I would have kissed him, said, everybody makes mistakes in their life. Take you for a Coca-Cola. Let's be friends. We go apart.
So the apology never happened?
Never apologized to me, believe me. And he lied to every paper. That made me angry.
But have you read his book? He's got a book that's out.
No, I don't want to read it.
You don't? Not
I don't
interested.
Want to go back to these yeah. times because I want to tell you something. When I was in Dubai, I had two cancer operations because of this kick. I nearly died. Sorry.
Sure.
Sorry.
No, it's fine, coach.
I was 30 seconds, my heart stopped.
30 seconds?
And I was gone. So, sorry.
So two cancer operations?
Yes, yes.
Where, in the areas where he had kicked you?
Yes, because I got through that cancer in my testicles and then it moved to my bladder. So I had two big cancer operations and then my heart stopped 30 seconds, I was gone. They put me back alive, you know, with that thing all. And I already had Mr. Mandela saying, heaven, coach, come. I got a team, he's in relegation. Oh, so, gosh. Unfortunately, I had to come back, unfortunately. So, you know, you have to take everything with a sense of humor.
I know you find great humor in everything, but I mean, that is such a sensitive and important story that you're telling. And cancer of any kind, as we all know, is vicious.
Yeah.
And it really removes and has removed many families and people that we all know around the world. Here you are now at 79. How far back was that diagnosis?
It was in La Tuma newspaper, old stories in Kickoff, they had the stories. It was about already now 10 years ago.
But I'm just trying to figure out, how are you health-wise now?
Well, look, I'm struggling a lot, you know. I had my stomach problems, you know. I'm suffering a lot in that. And now I got both my knees back in the last 2 weeks. My both knees suddenly exploded. And that comes not from the kick. That comes from all my soccer life. You know, I was born near 5 meters from a soccer field, our house, in the stadium in Austria. My father played, my brother played. We were born in one team, was called Lask Linz Austria. You know, they're playing in UEFA now.
Yeah.
So I played there with 17. I played already in the UEFA Cup, you know. And
So you were destined to be in football because of the proximity of it. But just in terms of the cancer, are you cancer-free now?
No.
Not?
No.
Still going for treatment?
Yeah. But, you know, also to say, I don't want to say it openly, it ruined me, my family, financially. You know,
the treatments are expensive.
Treatments, operations, millions, especially in Dubai and that all. I was there at that time. You know, luckily I have a son there who could help, but I had to sell things to get on living, you know. So.
Sure. But where do you find the strength, though, Coach? I mean, with all the love that South Africans have for you and the struggles you've had to endure, what keeps you going? What is the purpose ahead
for
Walter Rautman?
My purpose is what keeps me going. I was in every township in South Africa. I slept there overnight. And you don't know the story. I tell you, we see it when you Google my name, what happened to me, why I went overseas to play then in Germany and thing all. I was in Soweto one night, and the police stopped me. And they wanted a pass. Dompas. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have one. I said, I come from overseas. I was 20 years old, you know, played Morocco Swallows, player coach. I said, and I coached at schools also, MTN Primary School, Father Mopojo, myself. Mm-hmm. We went all over, you know, with no money, no pay. Doesn't matter. And I knew how the people were struggling there, you know. And the police stopped me, some white people, in a van. And when I refused, they took me in a van and took me to John Forster Square. And at John Forster Square, they put a plastic bag over my head and hit me with rubber bags, rubber buttons. That's why I got all my teeth still broken. I had to fix all. They broke my jaw. And I don't know if I would have come out alive there, but Jack Sello, the Zwalo chairman, was a cop at John Forster Square.
Yes.
And some black policeman there seen me, and he phoned him. And he came there and took me out, took me to a hospital.
Big Jack Sello. I mean, I remember.
Big Jack Daddy Sello. Yeah. He was a policeman by luck. Maybe saved my life. And
so,
then.
So, what was it? What were they punishing you for being a white person in a township?
They said you are a care lover. We've seen you a few times already here. You're working for the ANC. What are you doing here? I told them I'm a soccer man. They say soccer. Mm. You know, for them, soccer meant nothing. That time, you know? So, it was unfortunately a bad experience.
And that's why I ask you again, Coach, that with all of that, and it's only a fraction that we've spoken about on the radio today, is that what is your greater purpose now? Now that you've seen, you've done it all, you've coached the 15 teams, you've played for the 13 teams, you've endured hardships, you've had teams you've managed to rescue from relegation, you've had teams that have not paid you your monies, not paid you your bonuses, and you've endured the hardest of the hard times. Yes, the people have loved you and embraced you. From here onwards, the 6th of September, 2024, moving forward, what is your purpose?
Look, first in my life is because, as I said, I coached so many cool kids.
Yeah.
Went to hospital for sick people. So my thing is always, If I have pain, if I have this, there are millions in the world that are worse off than me. I've seen them. I've seen them suffering. So why must I cry? I still can walk. I still can maybe coach. You know, I coached the last time 3 weeks ago. Youngsters coming to my house. I got a big garden, even professional players. Yeah. In my street, ex-Swallows players. Right, they always talk to me. Now, opposite me is a Seko Kuene player and things. I'm involved. Football is my life. I love the game. I'm already missing Bafana, the game. I'm
I know. Close. And you got your back towards I'm watching for the sacrifice.
And you ask about Manchester City.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story. It goes a long time ago. My father was a prisoner of war, and there was a goalkeeper. His name was nearly like Mann, German, Bernd Trautmann. He played for Manchester City. He played one cup final with a broken neck. And my father was a prisoner of war with him, a friend of him. Since these days, 1950, we support Manchester City. And then when I was in Dubai, I met Yaya Toure, Aguero, all the players. Yeah. I was at the training with them in Abu Dhabi. So I'm a fanatic for Manchester City, nothing else. Big, big fanatic.
What do you want to be remembered for?
No, I want to be remembered for nothing. So I was, you know what I'm happy about? I was a people's coach, a people's man. I celebrate with the fans after game, as you will see in TV, in Vendor 30,000. I took my shirt off after the game, knee down, and showed them the muscles I didn't have, not like Schwarzenegger. But the ladies were happy. The ladies shouted. They didn't take their shirts off, unfortunately. But the guys did. They took off their shirts. That's how we celebrated. I came to games not in a suit and tie. I came like the people in my T-shirt and my techies. That's how I came to a game. Why must I think I'm a soccer coach? I'm bigger than the fans.
No.
The fans make us big. Without the fans, we are nobody. We don't get money, and we are nobodies without the supporters coming to a game. We play empty things. We are nobody. We are the same like a supporter, and that's how I feel. Look, you go with me to a shopping center now, to the street. Everybody hugs me, kisses me. Yeah. We talk like ever. We're together. You know, they still call me Soweto. Swallows gave me the name Soweto because they knew what I did in Soweto.
So in part two, we got to start off when we ask you about the very Swallows who don't exist anymore. At least you're wearing a cap that is in the colors of the famous Duba Birds. Coach, I thank you. I appreciate you. South Africa loves you. And I'm looking at the messages on social media. People don't want this to end. Part two, soon. I'm not going to say goodbye to you.
Hashtag MSW, live now on 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.